From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, October 29th. Just ahead, a record number of Illinoisans are casting their ballots by mail in the November election. We'll find out how those ballots are processed and what ballot rejections could mean for election results. Mary Hansen has that story coming up. But first, these headlines. Several regions across Illinois are seeing a sharp rise in COVID-19 cases. The state has responded with increased restrictions, including a ban on indoor dining. Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman has more on the rationale behind that mitigation.
Speaking on the 21st show, Governor J.B. Pritzker says the decision to target indoor dining is driven by research showing indoor gatherings without masks are inherently more risky.
To keep people healthy, we're listening to the experts. They're the ones who are saying and showing us the dozen studies. The CDC indeed has called for the closure of indoor service at bars and restaurants when you see rising caseloads.
Pritzker acknowledges that public health guidance has become politicized and says he has asked Republican leaders to speak up about the importance of taking steps to prevent the spread of the virus. He encourages businesses struggling due to COVID mitigations to apply for state grants and says more than $200 million is still available. I'm Christine Herman, Illinois Newsroom.
Bloomington State Senator Bill Brady calls for Senate hearings on mitigation rules as coronavirus positivity rates spike statewide. The Republican minority leader tells reporters mitigation efforts threaten to destroy the livelihood of many bar and restaurant owners. The State Department of Public Health says bars and restaurants are the second most common place identified in contact tracing. Reporters asked Brady what specifics he wants to see in data that could change guidance.
Show us the data that shows these decisions are sound. We have no reason to believe bars, we would admit, are different than restaurants and should possibly be treated differently. We'd like to see the contract tracing data that shows the difference between bars and restaurants.
Brady and other Republicans say they hope limiting taverns to table service only will prevent crowding at bars, keep people safe, and businesses open. Candidates for Illinois' 13th congressional seat representing parts of Champaign-Urbana, Springfield, and Bloomington-Normal are making their final appeals to voters. Democrat Betsy Dirksen-Lonergan joined two Springfield residents with pre-existing conditions Wednesday. She says her commitment to maintaining their health care coverage is more important now than ever.
Not only because we're in the middle of a pandemic, but because 1 week after Election Day, the Supreme Court is going to hear the case to overturn the Affordable Care Act. And we need to make sure that we're electing people who are truly and truthfully committed to protecting our care.
Dirksen-Lonergan continued to call out her opponent, Republican Congressman Rodney Davis, for voting to repeal the ACA. In a statement Wednesday, Davis's campaign says he does not support the latest lawsuit and points to his support for bills that would protect coverage for pre-existing conditions and lower prescription drug costs. The percentage of positive COVID-19 tests in Region 6, which includes Champaign and 20 other counties in East Central Illinois, is steadily rising. When test results from the University of Illinois are excluded, the 7-day positivity rate is now above 8%, putting the region at risk of additional mitigation. Champaign County health officials reported 189 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The average number of new daily cases has risen about 60% over the past 2 weeks. The county is now dealing with 437 active cases, with 6 people hospitalized. Officials on the University of Illinois Urbana campus reported 36 new COVID-19 cases Tuesday. The campus's rolling 7-day positivity rate is 0.37%, the highest it's been since October 1st. Still to come, we'll take a closer look at how election officials verify vote-by-mail ballots and what happens when they find an error. That's next on 217 Today.
This election night, you can count on WILL bringing you election results and reactions as they happen, including special live national coverage from NPR, along with local and state coverage from Illinois Newsroom. I'm Steve Moore. Join me and 21st host Brian Mackey as we hear the latest from journalists set up around the state on key races and ballot referendums. Special election night coverage begins at 6 p.m. Tuesday, November 3rd, here on AM 580, FM 90.9, and streaming online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Every election, a handful of mailed ballots are rejected due to voter error, for example, a missing signature or being sent after the deadline. A record number of Illinoisans are casting their ballots by mail in the November election. Mary Hansen has more on how the ballots are processed and what rejections might mean for election results.
In a windowless office on the first floor of the Sangamon County building, a team of three election judges pores over dozens of yellow ballot certification envelopes.
The N starting the first name.
The fancy N,
The judges, two Republicans and one Democrat, check the signatures on the envelope against what's in the county's electronic voter database. One of the judges is Bob Teal.
The signature that was on file was written, and this one was printed, so they didn't match. So we're rejecting it for non-matching signature, and then there'll be a follow-up.
We'll get to the follow-up that's done in a minute, but first, the rejections. A new law passed this spring instructs three judges to review signatures and assume they match, unless all three agree otherwise. Teal says out of the hundreds they've processed, they've only objected to a handful.
We try to approve as much as we can, if we can find any similarities.
Previously, just one judge or election authority employee could decide to throw out a ballot. Brian Gaines, a political science professor at the University of Illinois, says the new method means fewer ballots should be thrown out than before. And that could be key for November's election. Already, more than a million Illinois voters have returned mail-in ballots, shattering records from previous elections.
With a lot of people using a new method, I think you would expect this somewhat of an increase in the number of errors.
Non-matching signatures or no signature at all are common errors that lead to rejections. The most common reason, though, is tardiness, a ballot postmarked after Election Day. Political observers are keeping a close eye on how these rejected ballots could influence the outcome of the presidential race in swing states. Gaines says they're not likely to determine the result in a state as reliably blue as Illinois. But for a few tight congressional races or the vote to change the state's income tax system,
I won't be astonished if that's a very close result, and then it could turn out to be that even with a pretty small proportion of rejected ballots, maybe they turn out to matter.
Data from the State Board of Elections shows that as voting by mail becomes more popular, errors become more prevalent. In 2016, election authorities threw out around 1.5% of mailed ballots. But this year, in the March primary, just as the coronavirus pandemic was taking hold in Illinois, a higher portion of voters opted to sit at home and fill out their ballots. With that increase, the amount of rejected ballots jumped to more than 5%. Still, Gaines hopes recent changes to the process and voter education efforts lead to fewer errors and fewer rejections.
We've had time to think about that and try to get institutions in place. And there's been pretty substantial publicity about voting by mail. Maybe the education efforts will pay off.
So what's the follow-up the election judge mentioned? Here's Don Gray, the Sangamon County clerk.
You're going to be notified within 48 hours to the rejection. And then there's instructional information on what you need to do in order for us to accept your ballot.
If the ballot is late, it's outright rejected. But for any other reason, you can fix the error, a process called curing your ballot. The notification usually comes by mail, so Gray says watch your mailbox after you've returned your ballot. By law, it's a short timeline. Election authorities must process the ballot within 2 days of receiving it and notify you within 2 more days if there are any errors.
If it was not a non-matching signature, which I think it will be the predominant one, or no signature at all, you need to give us a signature.
But Gray suggests making an effort to avoid problems in the first place.
I can't stress enough, if you've made up your mind on who you want to vote for and you're voting by mail, mark your ballot, get it back to us.
And he adds, take time to sign the envelope carefully before you do. I'm Mary Hansen.
And finally, a damp day for us today, as meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see cloudy skies with rain likely and a high of 53 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Christine Herman, Eric Stock, and Mary Hansen. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.